Y'all doing today? Oh, shucks, now it's Thursday, y'all. That means you got one more day in the work week left. I know some of y'all happy, man. I know some of y'all are happy. So what's going on? Welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. And yeah, buddy, I'm telling you, another good show planned for you today. And I hope you're ready for it because you know what? We got it going on. We got it going on. Lord have mercy. I'm telling you, man, what a great day to be here. Man, I'm telling you, anytime. Man, I'm telling you, I love it when I come on the air with y'all, man, because y'all just, that energy y'all pump into me and the energy I put in y'all, man, I'm telling you, you can't beat it. You cannot beat it. I'm telling you. Oh, man, we got a show planned for you today. We talking prisons, man, private prisons. Boy, hey, what the topic is? The prison industry in the United States. Big business, or a new form of slavery? Oh, my. I'm telling you, man, I can't wait to get into that, you know, because that's going to be, ooh, a wang dang blast out, man. I'm telling you, boy, I'm telling you. I am feeling good. And you know the good thing about it, man, it's all natural. That's the best part about it. It is all natural. Nothing like a natural high to get you going for the day. That's right. And that's right, y'all. Okay. Now that I have gotten all that out of the way, that energy blast right there, I tell you, anytime I come on the air, man, when I first come on the air, man, it's such a rush. I mean, I just get so high, man, just knowing that the on-air sign is on, and I see my chat room getting filled up, and I'm ready, man, I'm ready. Oh man, I see my peoples coming in. Hey, man, I'm telling you, that does nothing but put a smile on my face. A big smile, that's for sure. All right. Oh my goodness, I love it, love it, I love it, I love it. All right, so man, yesterday we had a pretty good show, didn't we? I'm telling you, I really enjoyed that show. And at the end, we started talking a little bit about a little wisdom and age. And man, I'm telling you, we could have got a little deeper into that if we wanted to. But I don't think we really needed to go because we didn't have the diversity of the age-wise on the line that we needed to have to really have a very constructive conversation. So hopefully we'll have But we're working out a little later on to where we can have a wider range of age groups on the show and on the air at the same time. And that way we could go into, you know, the wisdom thing and, you know, how do you think compared to the so-called middle age, compared to the so-called seniors and so forth and so on. But we're going to get to it all eventually. I know we are. Because I'm kind of curious about that myself. You know, if I can get my little mini-me on the line, I'd like to see what he has to say. You know, at age 11, sometimes their whole thought process is a whole lot different from those of the 18, 19, and 20-year-olds. So, yeah. Okay, I'll be honest. He already thinks I'm ancient. So, you know, and then I have to remind him. You know, I'm not as ancient as he think I am. Then I'll take him out there on the basketball court and beat him down. Then he realizes dad is not that, dad isn't as old as he think he is. But anyway, yeah, we're going to have to work that in. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to work that in. We're going to work that in. All right, man, I'm telling you. So let's get it like this. Let's get it like this. All right. Once again, this is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and I see I got my co-host in the house, Hakeem, a.k.a. Cloud Nation Radio, with me. So we're going to bring you a good show, man. We always got information for you, and today will be no less of a show because I got some information that's going to blow your mind. Well, you know, let me put it this way. I know there are some of you out there that are quite aware of a plethora of things that's going on. Okay, I understand this, but I do also understand there's a plethora of individuals out there that have no clue as to what's going on. So with that being said, that's who we're going after. Now, for those that know what we're talking about and have some very valid information to add to the show, you're more than welcome to join us and add your information or comments or responses or, you know, to the show. We turn no one away. We don't. We love it. 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 And the reason why, because we welcome everybody. We love everybody's opinion. That is what makes us people, human. It really is. Hey, believe it or not, even animals have their own opinions. They just have different ways of showing it. All right, I know somebody going we're going to have to take it. I'm sure somebody's going to beat me up about that saying right now. But anyway, so if you're willing to want to call into the show and then talk live on the air or add a comment, no problem. Just give us a call at 347-838-8622. You can email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com. You can also join us in our chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. And let me explain to you now, if you log into the chat room, go into the website, and log in. You can log into the chat room as a guest. However, if you log into the chat room as a guest, only thing you will be able to do is view what everyone is placing in the chat room. That's it. That's all you get to do. However, if you log into the chat room and then use your social media site and log in with a username, you can enter our chat room that way. And then you have all the privileges of commenting and responding to comments in the chat room as well. You know, so you get the full complement of things you can do. Now, as they went calling in the air, only thing we ask that in the chat room as well, that you act as an adult. You know, you act like you know what you're doing, been there before. No profanity, no nonsense. You know, no picking at starting stuff with other people, no derogatory terms, and things like that. And also, let me go on and make this very, very clear. Do not come in here picking on anybody on my show. You know, if y'all have beef on another show, keep it on the other show. We don't do that here on Let's Talk. You know, all my regulars will tell you that the quickest way for you to be silenced and sent on to someone else, because I have no time for that. I know my guests don't either. So please don't do that. There's no N word, no B word, no C word, no G word. Anything that you think that you wouldn't say around your mother, your great grandmother, your big mama, or anyone that you really, really respect, don't say it here on this show, okay? We don't do that here also. I'm just putting it out there for y'all right now, right here, so you will understand, you know, what's going to happen. So when you hear the shotgun, you know you done stepped on it. And if you hear bye-bye, you know you really stepped on it. And if you hear bye-bye, that means we'll see you tomorrow. You know, that's all I got to say about it, because we're not doing that here. You know, that's just something we're not going to do. All right? So, with all that being said, man, I'm telling you, I'm ready to do some things right now. Let's see. I'm going to bring my co-host in, because I know he's ready to get a little say in before we get going into the show. Like I say, man, I got a whole lot of information I'm going to throw out there today, and I hope you have a lot to come back at me with, too, because we got it going on today. So without further ado, man, let me bring my co-host in, Mr. Hakeem, a.k.a. Cloud Nation Radio. What's up, man? How you doing today?
Oh, man, I'm well rested, feeling good. Although yesterday, the evening was a little I think it got crazier than a Miley Cyrus concert, but everything is good.
No.
Yeah, I did some visiting the BTI shows. That's why I said that.
Oh, I understand. Then I know what it was, man. It's more confusing than the Miami Heat when it was getting beat down by the Spurs, right? I couldn't resist that one.
Yeah, man. But I wanted to do a highlight real quick. A shout out to you know, Marcus and Renee for doing they did a show on hip hop, I think, yesterday. So it was intriguing.
But yeah, I know.
It got interesting.
Yeah, I stopped by there for a little moment. You know, I did stop by there for a hot moment. You know, just to, you know, give them my support. So, and yeah, they were doing an outstanding job. So.
Yeah, but I had to fade into black like Jay-Z.
Well, I don't know about Jay-Z. Okay. Look, I don't know about Jay-Z. You know, I'm not a big Jay-Z fan, so I understand what you were saying. Yeah, you know, eventually you have to ease on out of certain situations to keep you from being caught up in some things. You know what I mean? Oh,
yeah.
Yes, sir. All right, but you ready for today's show, man? I mean, because I got some doozies for you when we get to talking about this private prison. And, oh, man, I just can't wait to break it out to you. I'm so chomping at the bit right now, I don't know what to do. I'm, like, bouncing up down in the chair. Sit, man, just wait to get this out of there. But, you know, you got to go through our little formats first. So, you know, let everybody join in and get, you know, get comfortable. You know, knock out whatever you need to do. Of course, we're going to go to the song of the day. It's a good one, man. I'm telling you. And y'all know how I am. I play all genres music. So you never know exactly what I'm about to throw at you. But you know what? I got something for you today. And it's pretty good, man. I like the song. You know, it came from a movie, but I love it anyway. Because the song has a really good message if you have the ability to relate to the words, the lyrics. You know, a lot of times people just listen to the beat of a song and say, yeah, I like it. But sometimes you need to stop and really listen to the lyrics. Because the lyrics, I'm telling you, man, the lyrics will have you wondering and thinking some things. Boy, I tell you, it puts some things on that brain of yours up there. So anyway, I'm not going to talk anymore. I know y'all getting tired of me talking already, but y'all got a whole long way to go because I got a whole lot more to say. All right. But, man, I'm telling you, ooh, boy, Cloud, do you see our chat room already? We're only 15 minutes in, man. Look at that.
Wow.
Well, I'm telling you, we're going to be, we're going to be on point today for sure. All
they
right.
They must have heard that you're going to play some of their timeless music today.
Well, this one ain't too timeless yet, but you know, it's all good though. It's still good music. It'll make you bob your head a little bit, that's for sure. I think for some of us anyway. All right, so we're gonna go on and stop the gapping and go on and get the song of the day out the way, then we're gonna come back and we're gonna go and hit our pre topics before we get to the main topic. And yeah, so a couple of corrections from today, and then we got something else we're gonna chew on for a moment. We're gonna hit them prisons hard, man, I'm telling you. Because yeah, is it big business? Was a new form of slavery. Oh man, we gonna kick it in today, that's for sure. All right, so without any further ado, man, here it is, your song of the day. We got Life is a Highway by Rascal Flatts coming your way. See y'all in 6 minutes. Later.
Oh!
All right, y'all. Hey, I'm telling you, man, that's what it was. That's what it was. Hey, y'all hear it still going on in the background. That's right. Life is a highway, baby. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Rock it a little bit, y'all. Oh, yeah. Life is a highway, man. I'm telling you. No. Yeah, you got the fast lane. You got the passing lane. Then you got the ones over there in the far right-hand lane just creeping along. Woo! Hey. Okay, we got to finish it out now, y'all. Here you go. Big finish. All right, y'all, there it was. I'm sorry. I was rocking out a little bit, man. I'm sorry. You know, sometimes you have to rock out up in here. Yeah, man, you got to rock out, you know, to help boost that high, that natural high. Yes, 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 that I always have. All right. So, are y'all ready, man? Are y'all ready? Thank you, Supernatural. I appreciate that. All right, y'all ready, man? Are y'all really ready for the show? Because I know I am ready. Ready. All right, first, bro, before we go, you know we do our shout-outs every day. And, man, we got a lot of shout-outs to give already. Okay, here we go. We got Anmos, A-N-M-O-U-S, in the chat room. We got, of course, my chat room coordinator, Antoinette. We got Bod Sheep in the house, Deep H2O, Deep Divine Design. And man, we got so many guests, I can't even call them out right now. But welcome to the show, guest. And of course, we got Jesus Crisp in the house. And then we got, of course, you know, the cantankerous P. Yankee himself. And then we have a Supernatural Radio riding with us. So, all right, welcome y'all to the show, and I hope everybody enjoy the show. And then, of course, on the switchboard, y'all know, I got, how's this Skype one? We got Knowledge on the line. We got Anonymous 111. I can only imagine who that is. And then, of course, you know, we got, Mrs. Talk, my other half on the line, also listening in today. And for everybody else out there listening on your different devices, welcome to the show, and I hope you enjoy the show. All right. So let's kick this thing off, man. Yesterday we talked a little bit about the Washington Redskins and their trademark dilemma they have, you know, the Native Americans and those people like that. Well, you know what? Y'all know I had to go and do a little bit more looking into this thing because it sounded a little, And, you know, we came up with some names that they possibly could have renamed the team, right? Remember that, H2O? Well, boy, I got some news for y'all today, man. Check this out. Well, number one, they were saying they canceled the trademarks. Well, this was only six specific trademarks that the Redskins have, and mainly pertains to the entertainment side of it and merchandise. As far as the logo that the team uses on the helmet, it doesn't pertain to that because that is trademarked separately. So we had to clarify that up a little bit. Okay, also, you know, the only problem that trademark would call them in case you had people out there trying to do bootleg jerseys and shirts and things with the Redskins logo on it. And that's where the problem would come in and how the Redskins would actually lose some funds, you know, but that's what it is. But here's something that I really found that was interesting, and it really was crazy, man, because once I dug this up, I was like, wow, somebody's not doing any research or any history on what's going on with this thing here, because it's about as backwards as hell. And y'all know what? Excuse my language. I didn't mean to say hell, but you know us who was involved in this thing? Why the NAACP got their little nappy heads in there? Huh? Why do they have their hand in there? Didn't they get enough with Sterling? Yet here they go trying to take up somebody else's cause again. And I think they just need to disband that whole group and start over or something. But anyway, here it is. The Redskins adopted the name and logo in 1933 when the team was actually based in Boston, known as the what? The Braves. So at one point in time, the Washington Redskins were known as the Braves, the Boston Braves. All right? Y'all with me now? Y'all with me? Because it used to be a basketball team with that name also. But anyway, we're going to keep going with that. Now, boy, I got some things for you. All right? Now, they changed the name of the Boston Braves to the Redskins. Get this, y'all. To honor William Henry Lone Star Dykes, who was their Native American coach at the time. Did you get that? Did you get that? So they changed the name to Redskins to honor a Native American who was their coach at that time. Now, fast forward to 2014. Now that name is no longer any good because why? Young people have come along and say it's deplorable. This politically pussified country of ours no longer exhale, woosah. Do you see what I'm saying here? Somebody missed the boat somewhere. Do you get what I'm saying? Somebody missed the boat. Now, if I change the name to a team to honor a Native American, why is this all of a sudden such a derogatory, disparaging name or word? Well, talk about hypocritical, sorry, but trying to jump on a train. Do y'all see what I'm saying here? Do you see what I'm saying? Somebody's not paying attention out there. And somebody needs to pay attention because this is, in the words of Mike Tyson, this is a little asinine. Just downright stupid. If it's already there, why are you trying to team his name in honor of a Native American? That's where the Redskin came from. But now, it was fine in 1933, but it's no longer fine in 2014. Have we gone that backwards now to where we just want to just eliminate everything? We don't care who it's supposed to honor. Let's just get rid of it because we don't like it no more in today's society, and that's the way it's going to be. We're going to catch this train of the LBGT, and we're going to try and ride it just like they're riding theirs. And, of course, let's get the NAACP involved. They jump on anybody's train. Lord have mercy. See, I knew there was going to be one. Now, you knew there was going to be one. They used to call us color. Is that okay still? Hell, they still call us color. You just don't hear. But I don't see you complaining about that. I mean, since you're just going to throw it out there at me like that, I'm just going to go on and tell you the truth. Behind closed doors, they call you a lot worse things than colored. I'll just put it, I mean, these are the facts. These are the facts. They didn't use the name Redskin as a bad term. They used it to honor a coach that was the coach of their team, who happened to be Native American. Come on. Are we going? But I'm sorry. This is a PC correct society today, and nothing that hurts anyone's feeling can be public at all. And no, I mean, it has to be corrected automatically right now. Well, if that's the case, then leave them people in Iraq alone, and Afghanistan, and Syria, and Libya, and Israel, and Palestine. Leave all them folk alone and come on back. If the Native Americans are upset, then it need to be changed. But see, you don't understand. I'm not even going to get into an argument with that. I'm not going to get into that. What I'm saying, the team was named after a Native American. Why are they upset? Huh? Why are they upset? Because someone decided, let's just change that. Well, I don't see the Atlanta Braves changing theirs. I don't see the Cleveland Indians changing theirs. I don't see the Chicago Blackhawks changing theirs. Let's see. Who else? There's a whole lot of other teams out there. And that's the point. Nobody asked them anything. I don't even think they knew the history of this name on the Redskins. Only thing they know is right now they don't like it. Apparently, they couldn't have known the history because they probably would have left alone if they would have known the history of how this name came about. And you know what? What type of attorneys or people do they have backing them to where they didn't win all this and ain't figured this part of it out yet? That's all I'm saying, y'all. You know, we do some things and we just fall into a hole that I don't think we even realize we try and come out of half the time. Because we're just so dang gone intelligent, smart. A cause is a cause no matter what the cause is, because the cause is going to be the cause and we're going to cause it to be the cause. Man, I tell you, y'all really got it going on. But I just wanted to put that out there. I did, because I thought it was the craziest thing. And for them to be raising such a saying about it, okay, you got some trademarks. You know, of course, you're not getting really winning anything because it's going to take some years for it to go through the appeal process. And 9 times out of 10, it's going to be just like the judgment in 2003. No, it's going to get overturned. So I just wanted y'all to be aware of that. Hey, you don't believe me? Go and do your own research. I tell y'all all the time, do your own research, man. I ain't got no problems with you. Do your own research. You may find something I don't. I'll never say I'm completely correct, because I know I'm not. But I know where I read, and I know where I get it from. All right, anyway. Anyway, all right, Jewel, don't give it away yet. Don't give it away yet. All right, here we go. Item number 2, South Carolina DMV tells gender nonconforming teen to remove his makeup. Now, this is a 16-year-old boy, y'all, in Anderson, South Carolina, named Chase Culpepper, who went to take a driver's test for his license. He passed the test. He did. He passed the test. And when he went to take his picture for his license, an employee asked him to remove his makeup. And thus created the issue. Because Chase identifies himself as a non-gender. What the heck is a non-gender? No, I'm sorry, non-conforming. Gender non-conforming. Yeah, gender non-conforming. So in other words, he don't know what the hell he is. And we know we should let this go. He's a boy who wears makeup and has his hair cut like a girl. Now, I have a word for that, but he's gender nonconforming. Well, anyway, Mrs. Chase decided that he was upset with that, and he and a couple of other, the Transgender Legal Defense and Education Fund is requesting the DMV to allow Chase to retake his photo with what? With the makeup on. However, the DMV in Anderson has a policy since August 2009 that at no time will an applicant be photographed it appears that he or she is purposely altering his or her appearance so that the photo would misrepresent his or her identity. And I'm sure that has something to do with Homeland Security and all that great stuff. All right, now. once again, why are we even going through this again? The boy's a boy, take your picture as a boy, and then after you leave there, you do whatever you want to. Now, once again, this thing is trying to, you know, why are they, it's, you know, look, if that's what you want to do, fine. But when it comes to taking pictures and stuff, just take your picture and be on your way. Non-gender, non-conforming. You're some gender. Either you have a penis or you have a vagina. You got something down there. So you some type of gender. Oh, he's asexual. He's like a doll. He has no genitalia whatsoever. Well, you know what? I really don't pay them no attention because they're just sorry. I'm just putting it out there. The goals are show that, you know, it's going on, people. It's being pushed at us. As long as we don't pay them no attention, then, oh, well, it's okay. You know, it's all good, though. It's all good. I just want y'all to be aware that now it's gender nonconforming. You know, first we had the transsexuals, then we had the, what they call it, the hydrogenid or whatever they are. Then we just had the homosexuals, then we had the lesbians, and then we got bisexual. Now we have gender nonconforming. Well, I guess that's why the president must pass a separate discrimination law for the LGBT. So things like this will not happen. He can take his picture with his makeup and haircut as a girl, even though his name on there says Chase Culpepper. But is Chase one of those unisex names? I'm just saying, man. It's just one of those great days, man, in this world where... It's coming, y'all. It's coming. But it's all right. It's all right. It's all right. All right. So, anyway, I'm through with that, y'all. I'm through with that. And we're going to get into this prison thing real fast before I open up these lines. Because once I open the lines, I'm not going to get two words in. But we gonna do it. Let's talk about these prisons, man. And I think H2O kind of let it out the bag a little bit. But it's okay. It's okay. Because, you know, I really do appreciate the knowledge that is shared on this show. And he's right. You know, public officials support private prisons because of need of bed space. That's what they think you want to know. They do need the bed space, and they charge for that bed space, too. But, however, there's a thing called a prison industrial complex who actually have investors on Wall Street. Imagine that. Imagine that. Now, don't get it twisted, though. Some of these so-called private corporations that's running these prisons, you know, they don't have the best records there. They don't have the best records at all. You know, they barely man these prisons. You know, they fudge books to make it seem like they have more people on staff than they do, and they pocketing in excess. But then again, of course, what they're doing, they choosing everybody to put in prison they can because they need the what? They need the bodies, man. Why do they need the bodies? Because the bodies make money. A lot of companies are coming back from overseas. Why are they coming back from overseas? Because these private prisons are actually making a whole lot of stuff right here in the United States a lot cheaper than they can overseas now. Y'all don't realize, do it. Let me break it down. I know. Do you realize the prison system privately produces 100% of all military helmets, ammunition, belts, bulletproof vests, ID tags, shirts, pants, tents, bags, and canteens. Did you hear that? That's our military stuff. And they get it made real cheap because they got these private prisons. Now, also, they have 98% entire market of equipment assembly, 93% paints and paint brushes, 92% stove assembly, 46% body armor, 36% home appliances, 30% headphones, microphones, and speakers, 21% office furniture, airplane parts, medical supplies, and they are actually raising seeing eye dogs for the blind. Wow. And that's just on top. That is just on top. Do you hear me? Oh, there's a whole lot more. That is just on top. Because this is a business. It's an industrial complex. It's all about making money. It's not about rehabilitating anybody. That's why we have so many individuals being placed in these prisons because of an ounce of weed. You know, some people going to jail for jaywalking. Why you think they came up with the three strikes you out law? Huh? Here in Texas, it's so bad, they built so many private prisons to actually, they ran out of people to put in them and had to start closing them. I'm not telling you something I heard, people. I'm telling you something I already know. I know. The prison industry complex is one of the fastest growing industries in the United States, and its investors are on Wall Street. The multi-million dollar industry has its own trade exhibitions, conventions, websites, and mail order / internet catalogs. It also has direct advertising campaigns, agriculture companies, construction companies, internet investment houses on Wall Street, plumbing supply companies, food supply companies, armed security, and padded cells in a large variety of colors. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? But, man, I'm not through. You want to know who some of the investors are in this great scheme? You really want to know? Here it is, right here. Let's see, who are some of these companies? Let's see. We got IBM. We have Boeing. We have Motorola. We have Microsoft. We have AT&T Wireless. Texas Instrument, Dell, Compaq, Honeywell, Hewlett-Packard, Nortel, Lucent Technologies, 3Com, Intel, Northern Telecom, TWA, Nordstrom's, Revlon, Macy's, Pierre Cardin, Target Stores, and many more. Many more. And where you think all this stuff is being made at? Right there in them private prisons, baby. But you know what, I'm not going to spill all my stuff because we got a whole lot of time to talk about this thing. So yeah, we talking private prisons today. Is it big business or is it another form of slavery? Sound like to me it's a little of both. But I always say mine for last. So you know what, man, I got so many lines open, lines ready to come in right now. I'm just going to have to take them two at a time until I get them all filled in. So the first two lines I'm opening up is, how is this a Skype one? And I'm opening up into...
Okay. Yo, what the fuck did you just fucking say about me, you little bitch?
Okay. And now, let's see, we have Into Knowledge. Welcome into knowledge. Hold on for a minute. Hold on for a minute. Hold on. I got to handle something real fast. Wait a minute.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Now. I like that. Okay. Go ahead, knowledge.
How are you in Cloud Radio today?
Oh, man, we are doing wonderful. Wonderful. But what you got for me, my friend?
Well, I didn't have anything. I just wanted to give your listeners a change and have somebody different be the first caller. However, since you've actually broached the subject, obviously it's a combination of the two because you're talking about basically a free labor market is what it is. So, and like I said earlier, you know, state and federal governments, all right, create budgets for this. They have private, you know, private investors. So it helps the local police. It helps the states and the feds in terms of their spending budgets and allocating funds for this. It helps the judicial system, which has to adjudicate these cases, which costs money as well. And it's a great return on investment for those in the private sector who have doled out the money for this. It's an endless stream of revenue that pretty much rotates on its own axis. And I guess the sad part, but depending on how you look at it, is that the taxpayers fund the whole thing.
You are
all the way around. So it's the general public who pays the tab for the whole bill, and they get nothing out of it at all. Nothing.
Nothing. And, you know, and here's another interesting part. You know, usually in state penitentiaries, they usually receive minimum wage for their work, right? However, in Colorado, they get about $2 per hour. And in privately run prisons, they receive as little as 17 cents per hour for a maximum of 6 hours a day, which comes to the equivalent of $20 per month. You know? But you know, they got them working, doing everything else. That is just outrageous. But like you say, we're paying for all this. We are. We're our tax dollars are paying for all of it.
Yep. And in reality, they don't really have to pay them anything.
Well,
that's a smokescreen. The fact that prisoners even get paid.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're paying someone pennies on the dollar for work, I mean, in any business, your largest costs are the variable costs as opposed to fixed costs.
Right.
And one of the major components of variable costs is what you're paying to employ people, because it's always in flux economically. And when you can flatline it and make it a nominal fee across the board, your profit margin is predetermined. There's no guesswork involved. You don't have to figure out, okay, do I need to produce this much to make this much, and then I got to pay this bill, this bill, this bill, this bill, and then whatever's left over, that's my profit. Now you can eliminate all that pontificating altogether, because you basically flatline whatever these people are getting, if anything. It's just a straight line. So that now you've turned your biggest cost, which is labor, into from a variable cost to a fixed cost. That's hard to do, but in the prison system, it's real easy. Not many businesses operate that way. Their biggest expense is labor costs. Whereas in the prison system, you don't have that. Even if you're paying them $5 an hour, you can already calculate what your profit's going to be based on production. You know what it is.
Oh, okay. You know what? And that's a side that nobody knows about. Because, like you say, that's something that, you know, none of one talks about. A lot of, like I said earlier in the show, a lot of us aren't even aware of this kind of stuff going on. I'm aware of it because, hey, it's easy to see right here in Texas. You know, they take the worst criminals, and what they do, they put them all in one place and put them to work in these little private prisons where nobody's really guarding them, number one. And number two, you know, like, hey, if they escape, they escape, because these private companies, they're really not doing it. And you know the other thing about it, though? The private companies are actually now getting so smart, it's become such a big business, they're beginning to buy the halfway houses and, you know, the rehabilitation places and put that under their control, too, so where they can make even more money. You know, and it's just, it's outrageous, but what can we really do about it? You know,
well, what we can do is, and I remember when you, one of the things I didn't get to add on one of your previous shows, when we were talking about democracy, the basic requirement for a democratic society is full participation. Now, when that doesn't happen, then you have all sorts of things that can crop up. And what we are seeing in American society is, even though we fly that flag, that moniker of democracy, people don't actively participate in it. So democracy cannot work fundamentally when you don't have full participation. It's going to morph into something entirely different.
All right, man. I'm telling you, you're saying a whole lot, but I got two other folk want to come in. Two other callers want to come in, so thank you for being the first one on the line, though. All right, let me bring, let's see, 111 into the call. Hello, Mr. 111. How you doing today?
Yeah, Mr. Todd, go to the next call. I'm going to be after them.
All
Mr.
right,
Mike. Go to the next call.
All right. All right, let me bring Mr. Pianki in. Pianki, what's going on? Okay. All right. I think Pianki has a little something going on I don't know about. All right, Michael, you up, man. Well, I guess nobody wants to talk on their turn, huh? Let me see if we can't get Mr. Pianki in. Pianki, are you there? Pianki must be driving. All right. Well, while we waiting on all that to clear out. Wow. I really don't know what's going on. I got a lot of everything going on here. But you know what? Here's something else, y'all. The private contracting of prisoners for work fosters incentives to lock people up. In other words, the more money you make, the more people we need to put in prison. That's basically what it's coming down to. Prison depending on this income. Corporate stockholders who make money or prisoners work lobby for longer sentences. Have we seen that? Oh, yeah, buddy. Once again, we going back to that three strikes rule. You know, even for a minor offense, if it's your third strike, they will put your behind away for 20, 30 years. And you know why now? Because they need that money. They need that body to make that money. Right? In order to expand their workforce, the system feeds itself. Let's see, prison industry of being an imitation of Nazi Germany with respect to forced slave labor and concentration camps. Wow. Now, that's some strong wording right there. That's a whole lot of strong wording. You know, forced labor, Nazi Germany, concentration camps. Wow. Man, I'm telling you. Go ahead, Mike. You got the mic, man. Go for it. I like that. Go ahead, Mike. You got the mic, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, it is slavery. I mean, it is servitude. Now, whether we want to say it's involuntary servitude, I mean, because people commit crimes. Everybody in jail is not innocent. Well, we know that. We know that some people in our community are in there for innocent, you know, for being innocent. They're really not guilty. But in most cases, people are in jail because they committed a crime. Now, we must stop this, because I think the whole, you know, the whole point of you saying is that this is slavery. When you go to jail, they will make you as a slave. So we have to prevent ourselves from going in and out of that system. If we know all of this information, that they're setting this up for us, how do we stop from going in? Because if I go in, if I know this, and if I go out and do something stupid, I'm just talking about the knuckleheads may do something stupid and get locked up in jail. They're voluntarily being a slave. They're voluntarily, you know, saying that I want to be a servitude for someone. If we look at the 13th Amendment, it uses involuntary slave servitude. It's just the same definition as a slave. And you go to the 15th Amendment, it says about voting. But they use if someone's previous condition was living as a servitude, you can't deny them that. So basically what I'm saying, even with the prison industrial complex, when these men get out of jail, some states still won't let them vote, which goes against our Constitution. They're no longer in servitude. They're no longer a slave once they're out, but we still treat them as such, and we can't. Even the 15th Amendment says, you know, you can't, you know, discriminate, but this country does. Some people don't even have the right to vote in the state of Maryland. Felons. It's not right. It goes against the Constitution. So one thing, like I tell me and my sons, and I have to look at ways of making sure I don't get my black tail in jail to, you know, be a slave. Because we can talk about this all day and saying they're making money, but we have to stop the process, the cycle of us going in and out, long rap sheets. We have to do it. I mean, that's the only way that we can try to fight it or stop it. Because I'm quite sure, you know, all of us on this phone, we make decisions every day to try to keep ourselves out of jail, to stop trying to go into that prison system. We don't want to be a slave. I don't think anyone, you know, on this phone wants to be a slave. So we just got to try to stay out of that mechanism, man. But you guys are right. It's factually, they are slaves when they go to jail, and they're going to treat you like one. You know, they do all the maintenance. All the prisoners do all the maintenance. They cook meals for each other. The prisoners run the jail. The guards just watch over the prisoners. But, you know, it is what it is, Mr. Talk. We have to try to stop it.
Okay. So, All right. So, in other words, Michael, I guess the point you're trying to make is, you know, a lot of individuals put themselves in that situation. So, you know, regardless of whether they're being used to make money for other people, if they would just live their life like they're supposed to, they wouldn't be in that position to be looked at as slaves or what have you.
Well, right. When I'm listening to you, I'm listening how my sons would be, you know, listening to the show. And the only way, I mean, you're saying all this is right, but how do we stop it? The only way that we stop it is to make sure that we don't go into that system. That's the only way. If we know these facts.
Okay. I mean, that has a lot of legitimacy to it. And, you know, I can't argue with a lot of it, Michael.
What would you tell your son? Well, look, whatever you would tell your son is what you would tell any adult.
Oh, hold on, Michael. Hold on. Okay. Now, I understand your point that you're trying to make. However, if the system is rigged to place bodies in these prisons, you know, a lot of times it doesn't matter what you're telling you if you're being set up. And like you say, everybody here is not innocent, but a lot of individuals in there are innocent because these private prisons are guaranteed so many prisoners for so many beds. And in one case, a private prison in Arizona sued them because they didn't have enough bodies for the beds for their prison. So, I mean, the system has got to do something, and you think they're going to look out for us? No, they're going to look out for them. They're their shareholders, and you know, it's putting money in their pockets. So if that means going ahead and setting up the system to give longer sentences for minor offenses, that's what's going to happen. And there's not much you can do about it if, you know, if you caught up, especially if you're one of them individuals that have that three strikes rule against you. You know, and no matter what it is, they coming at you because that's another body that can put in the bed that makes some more money for not only the private prison itself, but the stockholders, the state, and the federal government.
Well, I don't think with nonviolent crimes there should be no three-strike rule. I mean, if you have a nonviolent crime, whether it's on the federal level or not, I don't think you should be going, you know, mandatory 25 years, almost a life in prison. That's crazy. But heinous crimes, I do.
But still, you know, that is what is happening. And it's only happening because Everybody is making money off this whole system. That's why it's called the industrial complex.
Because
making,
what can we do about it? So having said that, what are me and you going to do about it? Me and you right now, me and you talking, we got children. What are we going to do about it, Mr. Tuff?
Well, Michael, Michael, if you don't hush, I'm going to hush you. All right. Anyway, as I was saying, you know, we've already discussed we have to educate our children. But a lot of times you can educate your sister, your kids, but have you ever heard of sometimes being in the wrong place at the wrong time? You know, I don't have to talk over you, Michael. I keep telling you that. I don't have to talk over you or anybody else. All right? Now, look, Michael, systems is just trumped up to put bodies in prisons. All right? The more bodies you get in a prison, the more they can put in these private prisons, the more money they make, the more money the corporations make, the more money the judges make, the more money CPS make. Because, see, you have to get all that involved in there. And you do. And the reason why you have to get that involved in there, because everybody's making money off that. If you take a parent from the kid and he is a single parent, then that means CPS is making money because they get control of kids and have them kids adopted out. And what that means? That means they making money on it. So you know what, Mike? You have a good point, but the bottom is you have to follow the dollar. Unless you find a way to stop them from making money off this, it's going to happen. I hate to say it like that, but it's going to happen. Hold on. Let me bring Brother Lowe in. He's been waiting about 10 minutes patiently, so let me bring him in and get his take on this. Mr. Lowe, what's going on, man?
Hey, how you doing, my brother? How you doing?
Lowe, long time no hear.
What's happening?
What's going on, D? What's going on, Mike?
Oh, man, I'm listening, and the only way I can say this is for the guy that's always screaming, voting, voting, voting. What about your elected official that's okay with this stuff? What have you ever taken to that elected official and said, hey, man, we're throwing away a lot of money with this and this three-strike thing? And, you know, I do recall when you got caught up not long ago yourself in your little situation you were in, and we found grace. We gave you grace. You know, so anybody can get caught up in a situation. And you run into the situation where people say that, oh, well, people put themselves in that position. Now, what about this, the lady from Florida who was defending herself with the quote-unquote stand your ground thing? It was already a history. Her old man, he done jumped on her before. She went legally and got her permit to carry. She pulled it out, and he was finna jump on her. He was jumping on her. She pulled it out, shot against the wall. Instead of killing him, she shot against the wall and said, hey, you better go ahead before I do you in. Now, what they decided to do, they decided to lock her up and try to throw away the key on her.
Yep.
But she was trying to save her own life.
Yep.
So if you say that this system is not rigged for you to be locked up and the key thrown away, then you're crazy.
What's keeping us out of jail on the phone right now? What's going to keep our sons and daughters out of jail right now? What are we going to tell our sons and daughters to make sure that they don't get in there?
Ask me 10 questions at one time. First thing I can tell you is anything can happen at any given time. I don't care who's innocent or who's guilty. I have seen this with my own eyes. All you need to do is, like somebody said before, being at the wrong place or the right, you can be at the right place at the right time and still get caught up. And the next thing you know, you have a charge on you that's going to go against your record, and it's going to go against maybe some job that you were trying to pursue or whatever. And you might have been minding your own business, but you just got caught up. These things happen, man. They happen
Wrong straight. Right, but in most cases, we all understand that brothers get locked up when they're innocent. We understand that. But in most cases, the masses of cases people in jail is because most prisons said, you know, I broke the crime. I got caught. Most prisons will tell you that. Right.
Question on that. Now we love to jump up and holler about, yeah, black people, quote unquote, so-called black people should be more responsible for this, that, and the third. There's no reason for this to happen anymore. There's no reason for that. Why are they still doing this? Why are they still doing? Well, what about all the times when there were organizations to try to uplift the people and try to bring the people from these situations? And now it's fact that you can go back and you can get the hard copy documents of the government still perpetuating the things in the society for things to happen wrong. So how do people go against that? What do you tell a people that's happened to? Lace up your bootstraps. When my papa came here, he didn't have nothing but the clothes on his back, and now look at all we got. They didn't tell you about the $500 that the government gave them for bringing their poor butts over there, though, did they? We didn't get that.
Let me ask this question, Michael, and somebody checked and said democracy is the answer. I don't know what they smoking on, but okay. But anyway, Michael, let me ask you a question. What about those that's behind bars because someone has lied on them?
Well, I know that. Listen, I know the brothers in jail. I know some women lie on brothers. But I'm talking about most cases. You're talking about the small scenario. We're talking about the mass incarceration rate.
Is it so much of a small population that's like that? Is it really?
Well, I can give you the statistics of people who are in jail that they're in there innocent. Because most people say, well, you know, they're innocent and they committed a crime. That's why they have a jury and, you know, they go to trial. It is what it is. Now, I'm just saying most time the things happen in our lives, it's either we're involved in it. When someone commits a crime against another person, 9 times out of 10, they know that person. It's not random. So people do. I'm quite sure somebody have stole something from you or did something bad to you in your lifetime. People do it without the government controlling them. You got some nasty people out here. Only thing I'm saying is, for our community, we have to come up the ways, up with ways, to stop feeding that mechanism. That's all I'm saying. We have to try to stop feeding it. We know the facts. What measures are we going to put in place as a community, since we know all of this, we talk about it every day, what measures that we can tell our children and us as men and women to stop feeding that mechanism? If we don't come up with that, there's no use of talking about it.
It's hard to come up with one specific thing, and I'll tell you why. Because what you'll run into is you'll run into the guy that did everything the quote-unquote right way, kept his nose clean, went to college, stayed up those late nights studying. He did all those things. But when it came to going and trying to get the job to pay off, to reap the benefits of all the work that he put in, the job didn't show up. They gave it to a dumb white boy. I've seen it happen a lot of times just like that.
Okay.
And let's call it what it is. Now, we've seen it. I've seen this happen myself. Now, what happens in that situation? What happens when you have the guy that, the token, they said, okay, well, we're gonna make Tom our whatever, he's our token. And he says, well, y'all just got to work hard like I did. I got mine. Y'all can get y'all's too. What happens when you run into those? Because you're going to find both of these things in this situation, man, regardless of whether people like it or not.
Well, see, this is why people, when they go for jobs, they should check whether they're African-American. I hear a lot on Blog Talk Radio, black people say, I just put other. They're crazy. Because when you put what your race is, those agencies, by equal opportunity employers, they have to have their company must be diverse. So if the company hold on. Because if you feel like this white guy got a position over you and you were more qualified, if you want to do an investigation and sue, that company can say, listen, we got these number of employees and this is how we make our company diverse. Right? But the only way they're gonna track, but they have to track that. How can they track how many African-American employees is working for this traditional white company? How are you going to track that? You have to track why. Applications, or what do they, or what that individual identify themselves as. Because in order to have diversity.
See, I don't know why he's going to try and talk over me. Yeah, I don't know what the hell wrong with Michael today. He's getting fed up. Okay, now that we have his attention, all right? Anyway, now.
Can I ask something, Mr. Tom?
Hey, hold on. Right after, I put this out there real fast, and you can, y'all can go ahead. All right? I just want to say this to Michael. Michael, prison labor has its roots in slavery. After the 1861-1865 Civil War, a system of hiring out prisoners was introduced in order to continue the slavery tradition. Freed slaves were charged with not carrying out their sharecropping commitments, cultivating someone else's land in exchange for a part of the harvest, or petty thievery, which were almost never proven, and were then hired out for cotton picking, working in mines and building railroads. From 1870 until 1910 in the state of Georgia alone, 88% of the hired out convicts were black. In Alabama, 93% of hired out miners were black. In Mississippi, a huge prison farm similar to the old slave plantations replaced the system of hiring out convicts. The notorious Parchment Plantation existed until 1972. And you mean to tell me you don't think this is continuing to happen today? Come on, Mike.
Right, it's history. Right,
it's a history of this. This is nothing
great
new.
Great point.
They just decided to make more money and figured out a better way of doing it and calling it law.
Right.
That's
great
all
point,
it is.
Great point. I have one question before knowledge runs in. My question is, what about people like myself that I don't consider myself to be an quote-unquote African-American, it's impossible. And, you know, here he goes. You can call it what you want to, but I don't come from Scipio's Africanos, nor do I come from the other guy, Amerigo Vespucci. I can't be, and who else has a hyphenated nationality? Nobody. So I don't have one either. So what if I also put other on my forms. So what about that? What do we do?
Interesting. Go ahead, Knowledge.
Excuse me, Mr. Tuck. Oh, I'm sorry.
Hold on, Mike. You go after Knowledge, okay? Go ahead, Knowledge.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that a prison bed per year costs between, the last time I checked, it's probably higher now. The last time I checked, it was between $30,000 and $40,000 a year, one bed. And when you have a corrupt judicial system, and we need to understand where the word system comes from. It's Latin for sewer. That's where the word system in English comes from. It comes from the Latin word sewer. So when you have a corrupt system that's in place, and there are more laws on the books than even lawyers know. So this whole notion, this whole convoluted idea of, okay, well, you got to do whatever you can to stay out of that particular system becomes really ambiguous, because in order to do that, you have to know all the laws. That's why when you go into a court of law, they speak a different language. That should tell you right there it's corrupt. If you go into any court and listen to a lawyer and a judge, they speak Latin with English thrown in. That's how it's done, because they don't want the people to be able to understand what is going on. And as a result, you always are in there and you have to have someone speak for you until you're given permission to speak. And in closing, I'd just like to say, I'd rather go to Stanford than go to prison, but they won't give me $30,000 a year to go. However, they'll spend $30,000 to house me in an institution, a system that doesn't even work to my advantage, doesn't even work to society's advantage at all. Just wait or two. How much good would I be to society if that money was put into me and you and anybody else who's ever been involved to go to Stanford, Columbia, Brown, Carnegie Mellon, but you'd rather spend the money to house me and give free labor? That's the crux of it. I'm done.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. And you know what? That's a good point. You brought up a very good point. You know, they rather spend. Wait a minute, hold on. They rather spend more to put you in prison than send you to school. Wow, amazing. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, real quick, you muted me when I was talking about diversity. We want these companies to be diverse. The only way that you can ever label and make sure a company is diverse and not discriminating against black is taking numbers, factually. Okay? We can't have it two ways. You can't say, well, these white companies are not letting us in and saying, oh, well, we don't need to track who's black or who's white. So identifying yourself in this society, it does matter. Now, what I want to say, Mr. Talk, you're trying to put words in my mouth. Listen to me. I'm saying what you're saying is true. I'm not trying to convey that it's not true, Mr. Talk. That's what you're trying to know. When I'm talking to my kids when I'm talking to this show, just like I'm talking to my children. Having said that, what you say, how can we stay out of that? I know it's a setup. It's like chess. If I know their power, what can I do to make sure that they can't use that power against me? That's all I'm saying. And if you don't have that, we're going to keep on feeding the system. I agree with everybody. It's an industrial complex. It's made up for slavery. Haven't we made all these shows that we know that this is a fact? What are we going to do to stop it and make sure that we don't feed that system so it can collapse? We're going to have to talk about that. We're going to have to. Because how are we going to educate the next generation? I'm quite sure us now are going to educate the next generation to make sure you don't get your quote-unquote black ass in that system, that jail. Excuse my French. I'm real now.
Hmm.
We have to do it, Mr. Toff.
All right.
We have to stop reading it as a people.
All right. Hold on. Let me try and get Pianki back in here. And we're going to bring Pianki in and Bob Sheep. Bob Sheeps, yeah.
Why come blacks don't build and operate prison systems, being that they're using their people to make money off of? You know, I ask politicians that. I've seen politicians, instead of building prisons within the urban areas where there's high unemployment, they always want to stick them out in the rural areas where, you know, whites are manning those prisons. And they come up with these excuses of not in my backyard. So that's a question that needs to be addressed. And I always did say, if you don't have something for your kids to do, somebody else will, and it usually won't be what you like.
All right. Thank you, sir, for that. Mr. Bob Sheep, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hello. Hello, how are you?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you. Am I able to talk? I don't live in the States. Can I give you comparisons?
Sure, you can. Go ahead.
Yeah, like, for example, my own country, Aotearoa, we may be, small population, maybe 3 or 4 prisons. We don't really have those sort of problems. But when I do compare what we have in comparison to America, it's, how do you explain, nothing's been privatized. I know there are some government ministers that want to, but I can just see what's happening in the States could happen here. you know, it seems kind of dangerous that these prisons have been taken out of the control of the legal system, essentially, and are given over to corporations to run. I've seen a few documentaries on that, where that's just been... This looks horrible that people intentionally being sent to prison for really minor things. You know, like, for example, marijuana. It's like a fine here. I just get surprised so many people are sent away for such a, you know, because he decided to smoke a joint one day, or he's with friends, or got too drunk, or something stupid. Can you comment on that?
Wow. Yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, man, hold on. Go ahead, Knowledge. I think Knowledge is going to say something first. Go ahead, Knowledge.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, the comment that I wanted to make in regards to that is that's the way it's designed to work. And that's why I had mentioned the fact earlier that here in the United States, we have more laws on the books than even lawyers know about. Some people get arrested for things, and lawyers will have to go and do the research and figure out, okay, where did this law come before they can even adjudicate the case. And that's by design, because like I said, $30,000 to $40,000 per year per bed. Now imagine, Bob, if you were a person who was running one of these facilities. You want to make sure it's built to capacity.
Yeah.
Because that's what you are guaranteed by the state or by the federal government, so that you can get a maximum return on your investment. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just looking at it for what it is. So
from a business sense,
somebody smoking a joint, it's like, how harmless can that actually be? You're smoking something, and then all of a sudden, you got to go to jail. You didn't do anything to anybody. You might see the worst thing that's going to happen, like Cat Williams said, either you're going to get the giggles, you're going to get hungry, or you fall asleep. And you can go to jail for that.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
Exactly. That's all I want.
All right. Let's see. Michael, you wanted to add something?
I would definitely want to respond to that, sir. Can I respond to your question?
Go ahead.
Oh, yes. Well, so you're absolutely right. One aspect of these states passing marijuana for recreational use, and is about to pass here in Maryland, is because people were getting locked up for a nickel or five bag worth of, marijuana. And they having a big possession charge on their record. And, you know, possession of a narcotic, and they can't get jobs, sir, for just a $5 bag of weed. So that's one aspect why these states are just going and passing it, because it's petty, sir. But another aspect about the drugs, I forgot to mention this, Obama and Eric Holder, they lightened the sentences on for crack cocaine. On the federal level, a lot of African Americans were getting federal time, 30, 40 years, for crack cocaine. And if they had the same amount in powder cocaine, they would get lesser charges. And, you know, so Obama just reversed that, and he's going to be releasing about 7,000 prisoners across the country on the federal level, because it was a bias between crack cocaine and power cocaine. Normally, you know, the people who manufacture and the top distribution, they have the powder, so they got less time. And unfortunately, crack cocaine hit the black community so hard. But, you know, they're just trying to balance it out, sir, because the war on drugs is definitely feeding, you know, the prison system. So so that's one way how we, if we know that this is happening, there's some ways that we can pass some laws to try to, you know, slow that process. Because there are always going to be some type of jails. It's not going to, you know, we can't just say get rid of the jails. So I think, you know, politically, if we know that, we can push some things in the legislation to ease up this prison, you know, this money-making in this prison system.
All right. And you know what? Woo, man. You know, and the bottom line is, see, we giving all these, but let's be honest. The bottom line is economics and the money part of it, because, you know, it's all about making money, you know. And if they can get products and things done, made cheaper, you know, either way they can, they will. If that means trumping some charges or just extending short, what usually would be a short sentence to a longer sentence, that's what they do. And that's how they pay for the private prisons, because a lot of these private prisons are guaranteed 100% occupancy. And if they don't do that, they receive a check, a big check.
Right.
That us, the taxpayers, actually have to foot. So it's all about the financial, the economic side of it also. You know, cheap labor.
What?
Cheap labor for a whole lot of other stuff that's going on. But hold on, let me bring Mr. Beasley in and Cat in. All right, let me bring those two individuals in. All right, welcome to the show, Mr. Beasley and Cat. How y'all doing today?
All right. If there's somebody else, you can let them go before me.
All right. Go ahead, Kat.
No, you on the...
Thank
okay.
you, Beth, for last.
Okay. Thank you, because I know you have to out. I just found this topic really fascinating, and I'm really happy Mr. brought it up, and we're talking about everything. It's not just the private prison system. It's the entire federal prison system included with that. But there's a gentleman on earlier. I just want to make 2 points, and I really got to go. There was a gentleman on earlier from England talking about they don't have the private prisons there and they don't incarcerate people like we do here in the United States. However, Britain is as much involved in the opium production in the Middle East as we are. The only difference is the royals have their own private banks through which they can launder money, the illegal profits made from that opium production. And it's no secret that in Europe, the means for distribution of opium is run by the royals. The royals in Europe are pretty much an incestuous family. I mean, by now, I think everybody knows that the British, the Queen Elizabeth, and her husband was Greek, and she is her family was German. So from let's don't kid ourselves that the European royals have their hand heavily in the opium production in the Middle East, which brings
can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Can I ask you a question? Is this conjecture or are these facts? Is this something that you
facts.
Know?
These are facts. I was in
this
the military.
Is something that's...
I was in the military, dude, and I had instructed the CIA. And you all don't have to believe me. I don't care if you believe me or not. You can do research and find out the same things I'm talking about. But what we're not talking about is the heavy hand that cartels also from South America, Central America, Mexico have in this prison system also. This is huge business. There's huge amounts of money that have to be laundered in order. Central governments cannot afford like Pianchi said, we can't afford to build mental hospitals. We can't afford to build our own prisons. We can't maintain them. And where are we getting the money to do it? We're not getting the money. The whole thing about this prison labor today is not like it was after the Civil War. The prison labor today is the industry is created to launder this money that's made off this opium production. I've said this before on many shows, that everybody thinks we're in the Middle East simply for oil. We're there for that opium. Right now in Iraq and southern Iraq, they are growing pop. They're growing those poppies where there never have been poppies grown before. So I think that you all need to really look at that. When Mike says, oh, how are we going to change things? You know, how are we going to keep our kids out of prison? You're not going to be able to keep your kids out of prison. That's the whole point. And if you have read the papers lately, when we're having this flood into our country from Mexico, from Central America, from these people who are fleeing this crazy war on drugs in their country, and they're going to come here, and they're going, we're going to, that's a new crop of people to put in jail. You know, the cartels and the royals, I mean corporations, they act as their own entity, their own country. They have their own laws. And the rest of it, we think that we have control over it. We don't. It's out of control. We have just become these little, and Beasley probably sitting and saying, my God, I can't hear, I can't believe Kat is saying this. But this is, what I'm telling you is just the way things are. It's the way illegal, I mean, it's not illegal to them because the laws are only meant for people like us. Either you can afford a lawyer or you can't. If you can't afford a good lawyer, you're going to get in the system and you're going to be in jail. It's called walking you through the system, and it's being done over and over. And if you look at the prisons that are going to be built, they're going to be in low-income areas where they're what do you think Common Core is all about? Common Core, I mean, it's all tied together. It's going to determine where the dumbest people in America are, and that's where they're going to build the prison. Those are the people that are going to go to prison. Anyway, I probably overloaded y'all's minds a lot of this, and I've got to run, so have fun with what I said.
All right. All right, thank you, Kat, for that. Let's see, Barsheep, you would like to respond to any of that?
Oh, absolutely. That was just a lot of conspiracy in there. Yeah, wow. I wasn't expecting that. The Queen doesn't run a private security prison or yeah, nothing like that. You know, the judicial system is... Yeah, nothing like that. Absolutely. I can tell you that. You know, I've had friends, you know, been in prison, you know, for pretty legitimate reasons. And, you know, here we've got the opposite problem where they're trying to keep people out of prison, not send them in. But, yeah, that's sort of an answer to it. I do want to thank the host. You seem like a pretty awesome guy as well, and you know, I'd like to thank all the people out here who are sort of joined with me. We're part of a Democracy Now club, you know, to promote, you know, more democracy in the world where people get to have their say. You know, we've got a proper government that does proper services for the people, not just corporate run. You know, corporations have their place, but there's a lot of things we've got to keep them out of, if that makes any sense to you. And, I don't know the host's name. Sorry, what was your name?
They call me Mr. Talk.
Mr. Talk. Okay. I thought you might have another name. No, that's fine. You seem a pretty enlightened sort of guy. You know, I was kind of scared to call up because, I guess in the States you've got the racial problems. I'm white, so I'm a little scared to call, if that's okay.
It's fine with me. You know, I have no problem with it.
You got no problem with that?
No, we welcome everybody on this show.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, it's just those racial slurs get thrown around, and I guess, you know, I've got friends from South Africa. You know, if I was to use really, really racist words, you know, if you call me a cracker or, you know, use
words
like
nigger.
Where
are you going, man? Where are you going? Where are you coming from?
All right,
you going
hold up. Wait a minute.
Yes.
Hold up. We're not even going there, all right? Basically,
I know, but, I mean, we got to – it's good to talk about it because no one does.
I understand it, but today is not the show to talk about that. We talk about that on the show, but today is not to talk about. It's not the day to talk about it. We're talking about the prison systems and how they're so corrupt and things like that. We're not getting into the race.
Oh,
thing,
I know,
right?
I know. I was just complimenting you. You seem quite enlightened. Like if someone to use the word nigger, you wouldn't be that offended that you're tied to white person.
Okay. All right.
I knew it was coming.
I was trying to keep it. But he was coming. Let me bring Beasley on. Mr. Beasley, welcome to the show.
Wow, that was interesting.
Yeah, it was.
They lay in the cut so they could say that word.
Yeah. I knew it was coming.
They lay in the cut to say that word.
Yeah.
At any rate, it took me off.
Hey, friend.
You know the privatized. Hello?
No, you there. Go ahead.
All right. See, I think you're getting rid of me when you say that.
No,
I was kind of afraid to call the show, too.
Go ahead and say what you got to say.
Hey, how you doing, Beasley?
Hey, I'm good. Hey, Akeem, what's going on? And panel, but you want to know something? Privatized prisons aren't really the worst thing in the world. Is they operate privatized prisons cheaper than how the government operates them. I have a friend right now who's in Taft, and that's like in the middle of nowhere in California. In fact, I talked to him this morning. And before he was in Taft, he was in Lompoc. And Lompoc, well, it's gotten rougher. He said they've brought in a lot of gang members, and it didn't used to be like that in the security level that he's in, but they switched him to Taft, and he says it runs better, that the food's a little bit better and everything's better. But, you know, I understand that they've turned it into a business. I think in July of 2012, I bought Correctional Corporations of America stock, and that's the main company where it's traded on the stock market. I think the symbol is CXRCHT. It's Correctional Corporations of America. Well, I bought the stock at $26. I sold it sometime in 2013, and I sold it for $39. Not a bad profit. I got like 50% of my money in less than a year. So, and I understand that it's a racket, and they're setting people up to go to prison, but, you know, that's just something you got to avoid and dodge. And you don't necessarily, I mean, it's just something that, you know, you can't get away with the things that you got away with 20 years ago or 30 years ago. The things have changed, and they've changed quite a bit. I mean, there's a camera everywhere. You can't even pick your nose outside without someone knowing, you know, what color your booger is. I mean, so I feel sorry for the youth, you know, because I did a lot of wild, dumb things, you know. Well, I didn't get caught for all of them when I was young. But, you know, today it's a different world. But it's unfortunate that they've turned into a for-profit business, and it's unfortunate if you get caught up in the system. But they operate prisons better and more efficiently. I have a witness that knows who's in prison right now, who I spoke to this morning. And if you can catch the stock on the right time, it's really not a bad thing.
Oh, wow, this guy.
Well, hold on a second. Don't think that I'm some square from Delaware, whoever said that, this dude. Because I'm out here to turn a profit just about any way I can. Right. That's legal. If I were you, I wouldn't knock the hustle. In fact, you should get a pen, piece of paper, and write it down and buy back into the stock when you can, when the timing's right, unless you're opposed to earning some money.
Well, socially, right, but I want to respond to
Mike, the
intent.
Let the dude talk real quick.
No. I wanted to speak. I mean,
gentleman
are you finishing?
Ask some type of version. He said this guy as if I did something wrong. I made an investment and the investment worked out.
No.
I'm not responsible for what other people do to put themselves in prison, and I'm not putting anybody in prison. But if there's a way to turn a profit off of it, why wouldn't I take advantage of it? And believe me, I mean, it's not like I did millions of dollars, but, you know, it was in the multiples of thousands.
Wow.
Do you think that there's something wrong with what I did?
Absolutely. Who are you talking to?
The gentleman that said this guy, like I've done something wrong.
you did. You shouldn't have bought into that.
Well, no, but no. I mean, look. Well, to each his own. But socially, hold on. Right. But see, socially, someone can look at that, another person, and look at what Mr. Talk presented and says, you know what, I'm not going to go ahead and do that because when you invest, you help the company out, they can do whatever. So you're still helping instruction that company, that improves deficit. But socially, someone can look at that and say no. But to each his own. But I want to say something.
When I put $2,000 into the stock, I cash out, I get $6,200. I mean,
exactly.
This problem is much bigger than my little thousands of dollars.
Right, and that's your viewpoint, but somebody else socially may not do it, and they may both invest somewhere else, and you know, to each his own, because that's their money. But see, Kat, the point of this show and what I was trying to get
don't
to
don't call
talk
me
to,
Kat.
I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to her. I'm responding.
All right,
to what
my bad.
What the? Are you
Kat's
high,
over
man,
there in the open?
Well, she's
high.
Listening.
So
no, she's listening, and she said something.
Oh.
First of all, like I told Mr. Talk, you're right, Mr. Talk, but we have to find out and to try to make Beasley lose money by letting our kids not feed that. That must be the message, because that's why we're talking. Kat says, what do you mean I'm not going to keep my sons out of prison, or I'm not going to she don't know what the hell you talk about. What makes my sons different than your sons and daughters? Your daughters are
right. That's what makes
jail,
them different
you?
Off top.
So hold on, I'm talking about
foolish.
But listen, though, having said that, you think
that
I look at my sons as
everybody from Baltimore goes to prison.
Okay, wow. Okay, you see how they playing games.
It's on the wire.
So you saying I've been to prison? You saying my sons are going to go to prison? You say that
nobody,
we can't control that? Listen, Beasley, do you control? You did a 25-year bit, Beasley, in your life.
Wow.
Have you made good decisions? What makes her kids and other kids different? What I'm saying is you have the power to put the wrench in the system. We know it. We're speaking the facts. What are we going to do as a people to stop it? I'm saying make Beasley lose money. That's all I'm saying. Don't tell me that, bro.
Did you,
that's not how to live
a
life,
the,
that you visualize
you
that your kids
the,
and you're going
to
go to jail. I don't visualize I'm going
to
go to jail 10 years from
now. Talk have to
you don't live your life like that.
Shut up. Did you happen to catch the interview where the guy
about?
Had been to jail before and the police was trying to trap him up and said, hey, if you don't give us somebody, we're gonna put a gun on you. Give us somebody. Did you happen to catch that? Because that did actually happen.
No, that happens. Yes, that happens in this world. I think,
things,
hey,
but there's
of
also
course.
Some criminal-ass people out
exactly.
here.
Exactly, and I'm letting you know people do some ordinary
kids,
people do some crazy shit.
People. I mean,
yes, they kill the shit out of
some people belong
ordinary
in prison,
people.
Or they just open up the prisons and let everybody out?
Exactly, right. Come on, now, I know that, Law. Come on, bro.
I mean, people that buy pharmaceutical stock, are they wrong because some people misuse prescription drugs and become hooked on them?
Here he goes, justifying what he did.
I'm not justifying. I'm asking you a question because your morality is subjective, and your morality and my morality is like
to tell you something. I don't see nothing wrong. If anybody's going to exploit black people, it should be black people themselves, I think.
It's not only black people in prison.
So if it's what I'm saying is that
right,
there's nothing wrong with exploiting opportunity.
Well, slaves don't think like that, Pianki. And the reason why I say slaves don't think like that is because if you think about it, when the little thingy with the basketball team owner or whatever jumped off, all those slaves under those contracts could have said, "Hey." It's the player.
Well, I tell you what,
let me finish. We're never playing basketball again. We want our own league. Screw you. You don't own our team. We'll make money because we are the NBA. You're
yeah, but who's
going
to go to the games? You don't get the stands at the games. It's white people at them games.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But like I said,
yeah, they
ain't
no slaves. They're getting paid. Low, how they gonna? How are they slaves? You know, not that I wanted to say this, but at least the people that built the pyramids didn't get paid. You say it was Hebrews, but these guys playing basketball are getting paid millions of dollars.
Okay, what about it? Just like the man said, I give them their houses. I give them their cars. I give them anything.
Well, he does.
Got.
That if he has to do that in order to get them to sign for his team, what's wrong with that?
Like I said, why don't they have their why don't they invest in their own stadiums and gymnasiums? Why that's what
and
I'm
those
saying.
Are, those are athletes, man.
Like
most that. Athletes are dumb as a damn rock.
Well, that's why they supposedly have someone to invest for them.
All
and
of them
they
are dumb.
Blind too.
That kid that was mouthing off at the Super Bowl, he was a 4.0 at Stanford.
Right. And he's an exception.
But
I
you know that guy
credit,
from Britain.
He's
talking about Richard Sherman.
Well, he's an exception, but they wanted him to talk like he's still in Stanford in the King's language. No, he's still going to be him.
He was excited because he deflected the ball.
And that's how he talks. And that's how he really talks when he's
that in
front of
camera. He was just excited. I bet he can talk
and that's how he talks. Because
they
he talks from his environment.
As
you can go to Harvard all you want to, but that's how he talks when he grows up. Well, I mean, you know.
They refer to him as a thug. They refer to him as a thug solely off the way he
yeah,
looks.
Yeah,
ouch.
And I think he, what did he just sign, a $50 million contract, you know, with 30-something million of it guaranteed, with a $12 million or $13 million signing bonus. You can call me whatever you want.
I love it. You know, and I'm going to pose a question. And you know, Pianchi, I don't think you'd do it for any amount of money, but I'm going to ask you, Beasley, how much money would it take for you to put a dress on? Because everything equates to money. How much money would it take for you to put dress on?
How much do you got, nigga?
Oops. All right, Beasley, come on. Now you don't have to go there. Don't get excited, Beasley.
Too late.
Bye-bye.
Hey, I tell you what I have done. I have built prisons and made money off of them, though. In mental hospitals.
Well, for no amount will I put on a dress. I don't care how much money it is. And, Michael, I can't gauge you. You probably would. There's something
Ooh.
About you that's...
See, low, I'm a chill
I said
out.
Probably. I said probably. But there's no amount of money. Nothing is always equated to how much money I can get off or just what I can get for me. Not everything is that important that to any specific person to say, long as I get some out of it for me, then it's valid. Damn.
Well, money must play a big role, Lowe, because the people that's complaining about being mistreated are always asking for money in order to start programs, in order to do this, that, or the other.
Well, in some cases, I'll agree to that. You know, like I said before, sometimes the programs that's in our communities aren't the best thing for us in the first place, like Planned Parenthood. I'll say that to the day I drop.
Well, I agree with you with that.
Well,
but
Bianchi,
that guy that was on from
this,
Britain.
How
that guy that was
this,
on
Bianchi?
From Britain. Let me get this out of there. That guy that was on with Britain talking about what Britain was doing, I asked a question about who started the Opium Wars. It was two of them in the 1800s. And that was Britain imposing their will on China with trying to insert opium in China with their merchants. China said we didn't want that.
Well, Pianchi, you could have made that real short and just said the British East India Company. And he's not from Great Britain. He's from New Zealand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, how do you explain this, Pianchi, when we have a juvenile detention center or jail, juvenile jail in Baltimore City? And it's about, what, I guess about three blocks from the police headquarters. And...
Mm-hmm.
In this city, they, you know, giving about 10 to 20 million dollars to renovate it and upgrade it. But this city is trying to find money to keep the swimming pools open for the summer. Factually, begging business owners,
the same thing in Philadelphia, Mike.
So something is wrong with this. That's crazy. As a society, when you don't look at, even as a city or from the state government, if you don't look and see there's something wrong with that, That's what I'm saying.
Well,
let's find a system to stop and make
let's clarify that. That ain't all white folks doing it, because we got a park here in St. Louis, Fairground Parks, where you got a black alder person who had parking restriction signs put all around the park that read no parking between April and October from 4 to 10. October is the height of the summer months. So where in the heck are people going to park so they can enjoy the park?
That's crazy.
Good question. I tell you something I saw online the other day. These people are so disgusting. You know, you have homeless people that sleep on the park benches. They now got automatic spikes for the park benches. They can come and activate them and come back and deactivate them overnight. They got spikes where, you know, the people that were sleeping on the homeless benches, that were sleeping on the benches, you know, like I said, I was telling somebody, you got Congress concerned about what the name of a football team is, but you got one homeless person in this country. I don't understand that. I can't understand it at all.
They just passed gambling in Maryland, and they're building a new one. Well, we got one out. Well, we got about two in the surrounding area. But they're about to build a nice new one right behind Raven Stadium, right? Now, you know, when these people from New Jersey come, they say, yes, we're going to employ. In the bill, it says the at least 51% supposed to be black minority, you know, employees to that casino. Man, they're doing an investigation. They're not hiring people from our communities. They still pulling people from New Jersey to come down to Baltimore to work. So now we still got the crack on. We signed it in the bill, and these people, these crooks, these thugs, whatever where they from, man, they trying to get over on us. So now we protesting
that.
It's the same way.
When I'm saying, when I walk, if I would go walk into that casino, I should see a lot of black people working there. I'm sorry.
All right, hold on.
That's the same way with them prisons, man. They build them prisons out in the rural areas.
Hold on.
They build them prisons out in the. What do you say?
I said, hold on. All right, y'all. We got 8 minutes left in the show. So if you want to continue to hear the show live, call in 347-838-8622. If you want to stay in the chat room, hopefully H2O will go ahead and place that link in the chat room where you can stay and still carry on the conversation in the chat room. But if you want to hear the show live, you need to get on the switchboard now. Once again, that's 347-838-8622. All right. Go ahead and finish what you were saying, Pianki.
Well, I was saying this. They build these prisons out in the rural areas that have lost industry.
Right.
And it's whites that's living out there in the rural areas that's manning those jobs. And you got black kids, a vast number of them that come from the inner city that's filling these prisons.
Right.
Now, what happens? You got the sons and daughters. You got the police officers in the city. Don't come from the city. They come from the rural areas. So they're going to work extra hard to send more products back out there to the rural prisons so that their fathers and mothers, sisters and brothers, aunts and uncles can have jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Then
they live in a whole other county.
The kids come out there. Kids come out there and occupy those prisons. Well, they are counted in the population as it applies to the formula for community development federal block grant money. And where the kids come from, they lose those monies in the urban area. So they're making out like bandits all over the place. Then your black politicians, instead of lobbying to have those prisons built in the inner city where you have high unemployment, hell, where the children are coming from anyway, at least the parents of the children can have jobs, they don't go for that stuff. They're ready for the blocks to be empty.
You have some city delegates don't even live in the city. They live with their girlfriends out in the county somewhere. Don't even stay in the city. Crazy.
Well, so that's something
you
ain't even told,
man.
About that is the people, the constituents are at fault for that.
I know that. That's why I say we need to be more politically on local areas, though. I know. I agree.
They came out for Obama. Listen, the same people, those same people who came out for Obama, all those young women, black women, all those people who never voted, even you got some people who don't even believe in politics vote. If they start being more powerful locally and voting that same way, maybe we can change something. But, man, they, I mean, we too emotional, like a person says.
That's some, of them low, that's some of
you
them
see
low
how many
down,
black young women came out and voted for Obama? Those
that's
black
some
young
of them
women
low down,
locally.
Low down, no good Negro politicians that's
absolutely
going along with that stuff. And look at the rep. So you caught in a catch 22. A hell
right,
of a
right.
catch 22. They let
right.
this organization, they let this let these organizations come into your area. One here called, I can't think of the name of the damn thing. They get black folks to go along with busing their children out of the community into a white district. Then the black district, because they losing the population, is forced with boycotts. I'm not boycotts, but bankruptcy. Then the states
right.
want to take over the school district. And guess who's going to sit on the new interim board, because they're going to dismiss the elected board. And I really don't care about that, because board should be able, you should be able to recall a school board member. You know you can't recall school board members once you vote for
wow.
them. That's another crazy thing. Mm-hmm. So you got a lot of stuff that goes on in your community where black folks themselves
right, local, right.
pimp and profit off of poor and
yeah.
unfortunate black people themselves. Those people mm. that's black that's sitting on the benches, I bet you some black person came up with that idea to keep their ass
mm-hmm.
off the benches. And at the same time, they vote not to have any shelters for people who are homeless.
Right.
And you think
because
that's a
we
big
more,
surprise?
We more,
and you think that's actually a big surprise? Really? That should be. It's been going on. It's been going on for years and years. You know, I mean, I don't know why. And you know what? You brought up something there, Pianki, that I wanted to mention. You know, when you said there's organizations, and first thing came to mind, you know, was with this Redskin thing, NAACP. Where they at trying to make some of this
oh,
happen?
Oh, my goodness.
And then, well, hold up. And then, of course, you know, you got the poverty pimps out there. You know who they are. They're supposed to be the leaders. You know, you don't hear them saying anything about building anything in the neighborhoods. You know, so if you brought up a very good point, Bianchi. You know, the majority of the people that's going to prison are Hispanic and black, so why not put them in neighborhoods where they can get jobs? At least they can see they can or what have you. I know that sounds a little facetious, but it's the truth. You know, so
right,
I
clicks, right, yeah. Saying. Yeah, they hook them up with them jobs.
Well, I like to say this because it's true. That's why the Bible refers to those people as greedy dogs that can never have enough. Your elected officials and your preachers, they're greedy dogs that can never have enough, and it's nothing but proof. By the way, Pianki, our people didn't build all the pyramids. I never said that. But anyway, those people.
Well, I was just saying
were,
that the truth
or nothing. I know. They were educated by those folk, and so why would we think that they're not going to think like those people? Those people are the ones
see,
that got them when they were 19, 20, 22, 23 years old, and they went to college, got educated by those people, came into their system and said and were put in a room and said, hey, now you can make all the money you want to, Jesse. Don't fuck, boy.
But you know,
Jesse ain't
gonna
fuck.
Laura, I don't have no problem. Let me say
on.
This real quick. I don't have no problem with sports. But what's crazy, when you have a child that's 4'6" and 4'9", and you got him playing basketball all year round. Heck, he could be playing baseball. There's opportunities that exist in those sports, too. Don't be putting your kids
right. you get less
in these areas
get
where
ain't
no
more
way
money.
In the world they're going to go to college 4'9" on a basketball team.
Baseball, you get paid more.
Stop.
Baseball, you get paid more. You get injured less.
Okay,
shoot
thank
shoot
you.
Shoot
I said stop right there. Okay, number one, how dare you? You should be trying to send your school to child your child to school for education to expand their mind. If athletics come along with it, that's fine. But the
they
number
need the
one
scholarships,
thing is,
Eric.
But listen to what I'm saying. If you educate them from the beginning and teach them the right stuff, they have the scholarship scholastically.
And that's also we're not compromising
no,
on that.
Yeah, but that's what you sound making it sound like, Pianki.
No, I don't want to make it sound like that. We're not compromising. We want children to go to school on academic scholarships, sports scholarships, any way that they can go toward higher education. But what I'm saying is, why have 90% of your school-age children who's academically sound going out for the same daggone sport? Move them around. Expose them to all of them. Don't just have them concentrated out there in July on a football field, running up and down the field, about to pass out from heat strokes and everything else. That's crazy.
Great point. Great point. I was talking to a guy I know from around the way, and he was telling me when he was younger, he went to a school in the quote-unquote white district, and they had gymnastics, and they had all these different type of athletics in the curriculum that didn't just fit to the main the social norms for us, which is basketball and football, you know, and you go for physical education and for the seventh period. But like I said, they had golf and they had tennis and all of these different curriculums that could actually teach different things as opposed to just going out there and getting your body beat up and broke up. Me and my cousin were talking the other day about how we feel right now because of some of the injuries that we received knowingly and unknowingly playing sports growing up, sports growing up.
As you get old, you know, and that 40 mark, you going to feel it when it's around 40? Shoot.
Yeah.
Mm. You feel, oh, my
that's
goodness.
That's all part of the game.
Yeah, round 40? Right.
Right.
That's all part of the game. If you're going to indulge yourself, excuse me, Lo, if you're going to indulge yourself, and I'm going to tell you, I got two bad knees, torn Achilles, a 15% disability in my back. I can function fine. I just can't do anything that's high impact. However, if I could do it again, I wouldn't change a damn thing. That's how much I loved it. And one of those things for sports is it pulls you in, because if you're good at it and you enjoy it,
you don't
weigh the cost. What's going to happen after you're done, which is a very short period of time. When you look at professional athletes, their careers at the best, at the most, their careers are like 15 seasons at the most. By the time they're done, they're very young men and women. But that's the risk you take.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
I think what Bianca was
saying, that, man. It's good you said that, because you said it draws you in. That's the exact same thing that the Greeks did to our priests.
Exactly.
That's the exact.
And you know another thing.
Well,
I just want to say about baseball real quick. But see, baseball is less injury on the body. If you want to go pro, they get paid a lot of money. And they live longer, I mean, versus the other sports players.
Yeah, at the 43 games, guaranteed.
I'm saying the average baseball, they die, about 84 years of age versus other people who play professional sports. They live longer. But I'm just saying it's good on the body. It's less stress on the body in baseball.
I'm going to tell you why. Now, look at this. Remember names like, what was it? I was watching this movie, Soul of the Game.
Satchel Paige.
Paige and all those names of those guys that played in, like, Negro Leagues or whatever, they did was they integrated the baseball, summer league baseball, and then all of a sudden took it out of the inner cities, and those pro teams were sending their money down to Latin America to train up those boys down there. Now, you think about it. What if the inner cities had baseball programs and you had athletes coming out playing baseball as well as or better than your Barry Bonds, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Now, you think about
it took
all the
over everything.
Kids. Exactly. You think about
they got programs now.
That's America's sport. That's America's sport.
RBI is revitalizing baseball in the inner city. It's a hit program.
And
you're saying they invest more.
Soul of the Game is a great movie. That's a great.
So what you're saying is, so what you're saying, Lo, is since this is an America sport, you know, they invested outside the country than inside the country, as far as, you know, the inner cities,
well,
you know, versus
well,
that
those
because
kids down in the Caribbean that play year round, but
over.
You know, the
right,
thing,
right.
Another
people
thing about
weather.
Sports that we got to look, we have to look beyond the court and the field.
Right.
Look at all the other professions that surround them sports, from landscaping, concessions,
right.
Sports
exactly.
Medicine, training, officiating, marketing,
right.
Advertising.
That's what I was telling my son, exactly.
It goes on and on and on.
Right.
When you
right.
look at the people who's involved in these activities, yeah. you very rarely see black faces.
Right.
And that needs to change.
Yes,
exactly.
In Pianchi, in regards to that whole baseball piece, which makes baseball so different, is that it's a very skilled sport, and because they have what's called the farm system, meaning that you have to go from single A to double A to triple A, then you get into majors, it's so arduous that you have a lot of inner city kids that go for the window dressing, which is football, which is basketball, because once you get to that pinnacle of the level that you're playing at, you can segue into the pro game so quickly. And in baseball, you can't do that. It's a defined system.
Right.
So you got to work your way.
But the thing,
I want to say something.
The thing I want to emphasize on baseball, when you look at the historically black universities, colleges and universities, those baseball teams, them all white players playing on those teams.
Right.
Yep.
Now,
that's right.
They doing so for
right.
a scholarship to help pay for their
right.
education.
Right.
Right. I work with a guy right now. His son goes to Southern University in Baton Rouge, white boy.
And they playing on the baseball teams.
Yeah.
I just want to say something.
All on the baseball team is white.
See, Pianchi, you are absolutely right. See, Pianchi, you're absolutely right, and I've always said it. See, when you're looking at a sports, let's say you have just a regular athlete, and he doesn't make it to the pros. What is he taking up in college? Can he take communications, broadcasting? He can take up statistics. When he gets out of college, you know, if he doesn't make it to pro, he can move into the sports arena by being in the cameraman, by being so you know, there's a lot of embedded companies that make the NBA run or make the sports run.
I coach the kids.
So if you go so hold up, so you can still have your passion, right? Even though you didn't make it to the NBA, you can still have your passion and doing it in the sports.
You're absolutely right, Mike.
To the game. So that's why
I agree with
how
I coached a kid
right.
who graduated this year. He's going to Alabama A&M. He got a full scholarship, and guess what he's taking up? Sports medicine. He wasn't good enough to play baseball, but he's
right.
taking up sports medicine.
Right. And I'd like to add to what Mo said, because when I came out of high school, I got letters from Xavier, Southern, and Grambling.
Mm-hmm.
And this was back in 1978. I didn't even think twice about not going. Not because I didn't know the history, not because I didn't understand. I was coming out of California, you know, I'm looking at, you know, Stanford, UCLA, USC. So a lot of times your vision can get clouded. I'm just drawing an illustration. Your vision can get clouded. So while I could have went to Xavier University, I could have went to Southern, I could have went to Grambling, man, I bypassed all of that. And looking back on it, it might have been the best thing for me.
Right.
Yeah, Grambling especially.
It might have been the best thing for me.
Was Eddie there at that time at Grambling?
Yeah, Eddie Robinson was there. Yeah, 78, yeah. Eddie Robinson didn't leave Grambling until, what, 2000, something like that?
And right, now they right, can't. Right. They don't even have facilities and proper equipment and so forth. That's a shame. See, that's, I blame that
right.
stuff
but
on
see,
black
but see,
people.
That's
man.
Why. But see, hold up. See, that's why this lieutenant governor, right, that's running for governor in Maryland. Listen, we had a protest for the HBCUs and challenging the current governor, O'Malley, to give more money. We're asking him for $14 million. He didn't even meet people halfway. He gave us like four-some million. But the lieutenant governor, he just came there, didn't give a speech at the protest. He just showed up for political reasons. Listen, man, that's why I said you always have to talk about the black community because on state legislation, they give money out for these HBCUs. We got these predominantly white institutions copying the curriculum from these HBCUs, trying to get other students. I mean, it's a struggle. And for him to try to get the money in, it's ridiculous. I mean, just to deal with the people, you couldn't even give the people half. He barely gave him $4 million.
Stop going to your enemies begging.
We're talking about state money that goes to state schools.
Get in touch with your Oprah Winfrey's and all these other people that
we pay taxes. No, we pay taxes, local taxes and state taxes, so we can say give our money to it. Forget Oprah, that's private money. I'm talking about public money. I'm talking about the government's money that we all put our money into.
That's why you need to have businesses. You got to have businesses that support politicians that's supposed to go to the state house and legislate for your behalf. And we don't have that way we should.
We got some steep, we got
these
some
Negro
weak,
politicians nowadays is crazy.
Like foxes. They're crazy like foxes. It's all for their own personal private gain. I mean, where is Jesse Jackson Jr. at right now? Because that's
in prison where he needs to be.
Oh, he's in prison?
Yeah. Who went first? His wife will go first, or he went first?
He went first.
That's where he needs to be. People say he did some good things, but damn.
He went first.
He's going to go and commit suicide. You did wrong. Just say you made a mistake. Right. He's crying like a little baby now.
My question is, I mean,
nothing wrong with him.
When people say, oh, well, he did some good things. Oh, Al Sharpton did some good things. My question is, what else would they put up there for? That's just like somebody saying, I'm a good baby daddy. What do you mean you're a good baby daddy? Don't you supposed to take care of your own? Do you want an award for doing what you're supposed to do?
Right.
I don't think the politicians should be hyped up and amped up. Oh, well, he did some good things. Well, what about all the other things?
I want to say something, Lowe. What do you think about when they said that, you know, he was in the hospital and he thought he was bipolar and all that type of stuff? Did you think that was a sympathy ploy or what? I mean, what do you think? I'm sorry, I got caught moment.
It was that, and if I could talk like Paul Mooney for one second. You know what Paul Mooney
shows. Oh, my goodness. I'm like, man, this man needs to stop this. I'm like, I know everybody knows this man is crazy. You got caught, man. You got caught.
Right. And just same thing with him. Just like down here right now, you have Ray Nagin going through his little motions with everything he got caught. Man, what did you think was going to happen? They had all these little small town and small community mayors close around Baton Rouge got locked up.
What's the guy's name? Fitzpatrick or something from Detroit too. Kilpatrick.
Kwame Kilpatrick.
Yeah, all for corruption. What did you think was going?
Okay, listen.
You took your black ASS up there thinking you were going to ball out like them white boys do and everything was going to be fine. It don't work like that.
Oh, my goodness.
He's in jail too, right?
Tell the truth.
Isn't he in jail?
Yes.
Okay.
I want to say something real quick. I apologize for this. I don't know this gentleman's name. I know the story. I apologize. His last name is pretty hard to pronounce. But anyway, he, you know, they hired him as a principal for Atlanta, from Atlanta, Georgia. Well, before he came to the, you know, this school district here in Baltimore, he was convicted. Well, no, not convicted. The FBI was investigating him for fraud, defrauding the government, because he said because he had a lot of daycare centers, and he somehow in his proposal he was, you know, billing the government for like $2 million. Basically, he used the government money for private affairs, buying cars, buying apartments, and stuff like that. So the federal government was investigating him. Well, he came here to Baltimore, and he took over Frederick Douglass High School. You can Google this up. Yeah, I think you can find the story. And Frederick Douglass High School was a traditional high school, but over the years, the alumni from Frederick Douglass High School was very successful, but the school just went down. He came and he turned the whole school around. Then the FBI came in, you know, and picked him up for, you know, for that fraud down Atlanta. And everybody was wondering, why didn't the city know anything about it? Why did the city hire him? We know he did a good job. We don't care he did a good job or not. But why did you hire a criminal? And I'm trying to tell people that when the FBI has an investigation, they're not going to tick off the state. The state necessarily does not know when the Fed's going to do nothing. It's a case-by-case basis. Now, if he was in his daycare molesting children and he would try to get another job doing that, of course they would probably alert them. But they would alert him for some type of money. And it's unfortunate that the point I'm trying to make, some people just do good things, but you just have some people, man, they just – they see that money and they just, you know, get real tempted and it overwhelms them. You know, unfortunately. The guy's a good dude. I mean, right. Look, excellent principal. He brung that school up to be the number one school, you know, in Baltimore City. But he's doing fair time now.
Where was that cat that they made the movie Lean on Me from? Wasn't he from Jersey?
Joe,
Crazy
Joe.
Yeah. Wasn't he from
Jersey? Yeah, New
Joe Jersey. Joe Clark. He was on the Phil Donahue show, too.
Well, Michael, a quick question for you. Have you ever heard of, I think the man's name is John Churchill, I think?
No.
I think he's from Philadelphia. The thing is, he took his own money. And I think, I want to say this was in the 60s or the 70s, took his own money and started a small school. And he had maybe 20, 22 children in there. Not no
right.
Average children from the neighborhood. And he was educating them from ages 18 months up to 4 or 5 years old before they start school, and was actually putting something into them more than just going there to get the bull jive that the school was going to indoctrinate them with. And the thing is, I never heard anything else about what happened to that that program, because, like I said, a man took his own money, and the program was successful. He had children understanding that they were not boys, and they knew how to count. They knew years old, knew the meanings to large long words and everything. They were actually learning things. And you know, what happened to people like that that took their own money and wasn't out to get state money, but was actually trying to help build our communities? What happened to those children that went through those situations? You know, I don't understand it. You know, because I was listening to him teach his class one day. He was telling them, you don't go there. You're not going to go to the school for free.
Is that my phone breaking up, or did he
what
break
up? What was that guy?
Well, all government money ain't bad. You know.
Well,
you just got the
government money is never good.
And this is a young guy too. You know, he's real young, early 30s. You know, real young daddy. I mean, he's a doctor. So, you know, it's just unfortunate. It's just unfortunate, though.
Government money is never good. Never.
There you go. There you go. Government money was what they gave those women. They said, you can't have a man in your house if you take money.
Well, grants,
government
are good. Grants are good for school. Government grants are good for school, right?
Man,
you can't say all government grants.
Always comes with stipulations and a payback.
Right.
Oh, thank you.
Right.
Always.
I said grant. I said grant. No, I said grant.
Right.
I said the government Pell Grant.
You get all the grants.
Pell Grant is a Pell Grant good to dirty money. I'm asking, do you consider Pell Grant dirty money? No, it's not dirty money.
I didn't
man.
Say dirty
That's good money.
Money.
So that just proves
say,
my point.
I didn't say dirty money. What I'm saying is...
Well, not bad money.
Anytime somebody or some entity offers you money, you have to pay it back.
Well, I'm talking about Pell Grant. You don't have to pay it back.
You are not getting that money.
Pell Grant, you don't have to pay back.
Some kind of way, man. I understand exactly
you
what knowledge is. You got
to pay it back.
Let me ask
not
you a question.
Not the Pell Grant.
Let me ask you
don't have
question.
To pay a Pell Grant back, bro.
Man, let me ask
okay,
you a question.
You don't get it all back. You don't
I
right.
do get it. No, you don't get it. All government money is not bad. It can be the beneficial to you.
Hold on. Okay. All right. Because y'all about to start a whole nother argument. I'm still debating. We're not even about to get into that. Because it is now 20 after the hour. And, you know. I gotta go and cook, man. So it's time for us to get up out of here. But of course, you know, I'm gonna let y'all get your last words in because y'all are who y'all are, of course. All right, so we're gonna start it off with Kat. Let her get her last words in. And Miss Kat, are you there? Hello, Miss Kat, are you there? Miss Kat going once? Miss Kat going twice?
I'm sorry, I had you on mute, and if I go through a school zone, I have to quit talking. I'd like to address something Mike said. He kind of, like, made it personal what I was talking about. What can we do for our children to keep them out of this prison industrial complex? And I said we can't. With the laws on the books, we can't. I didn't make it personal in trying to say he can't keep his kids out or I can't keep my kids out. That's not the point I was making. I was talking about America's children. And it was funny that then he went on to make my point for me by stating that government is not providing the swimming pools being open but helping to remodel a juvenile or build a juvenile center right there in Baltimore. That's an example of exactly what I was talking about. And I think this is a really good topic, Mr. Talk, and I wish that we could break it down and talk about it more on future shows. That's all I'm saying.
All righty. Thank you, Kat. And honestly, me and Kyle was talking about that, and we were actually saying we're going to continue this conversation tomorrow. So going to get your homework done, y'all, because we're coming back with some more tomorrow. That's for sure. All right. Let me bring Michael in. All right, Mr. Michael, you up.
Well, good. Well, hi. Yes. Well, let me address Kat, please. Having said that, I did make that point, but having said that, we still have to try to keep our children. No matter if Maryland is trying to renovate that jail and bring 5 new juvenile centers, we as a community, all of us, need to try to stay out of that and challenge some of these laws, some of these petty laws that we have. That's have to be the bottom line. That's because that's our move. What is our move on the chessboard? Since they're making their moves on the chessboard, what can we do? Okay? Because I think knowing is half the battle. And I think, you know, we spoke a lot of knowledge today. I just want to say, good show, Mr. Talk. That's it. Have a nice
day. All right, thank you, and you have a good one. Also, see you tomorrow. Let's see. I don't know if he's here, but we're going to try him anyway. Mr. Pianki, are you there? Okay, let's see. Try it again. Mr. Pianki, are you there? Mr. Pianki going once. Mr. Pianki going twice. Yeah, he's gone. All right, knowledge you up.
Great show, Mr. Talk. I really enjoyed it. And I enjoyed the interjection from the whole panel. And I'll just leave you with a quote, and I'm done. The best slave is one that thinks it's free. and I'm out.
All righty, sir. Thank you. That's a deep quote right there. Wow, that is a very deep quote, but very, very true. Very, very true. All right. And then, of course, we got my co-host, Mr. Hakeem. Man, they kind of kept us a little quiet today. I'm telling you, we started it and they just ran on. We had to do everything in the classroom.
Oh, man, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed talking with the people in the chat room. So I didn't mind listening to everybody who brought very, very valuable information and allowed us to really pull in and receive the wealth of the knowledge that was shared today. So I love it. I love it when people share information on this platform. And I think this was obviously a great topic because you saw how overwhelming the amount of people who seem to migrate into the chat rooms and into the live lines and everything. So it's definitely a hot topic, a worldwide based on people who called in. So I love it. I wish everybody continued to enjoy the rest of the Rain of Man in their day, and that it would be joyous and peaceful until we meet and chat again. I say peace to everyone.
All right. Thank you, sir, and peace to you. And we're going to do the same thing again tomorrow. I'm telling you, just be under the guise of Freedom Friday, but a same topic, different notes. Who knows? We may go over some of the ones we had today, but hey, who knows? I know we're going to go somewhere with it. All right. Well, y'all, another good one. That's what I'm talking about. Well, let's see what I came up with. Man, I'm telling you, when you just sit back and listen, you really receive some great information, but you get to also dissect some things that's said and put a little perspective on them, because sometimes that's what it really takes, you know, you to place some perspective on some things. Now, Michael said, kept asking the question, well, how do we keep our children, you know, how can we really keep our children from falling into the system? You know, and, you know, my original response was, really, you can't, because it is set up to entrap our young people. It really is, as well as some of the adults who haven't realized that that's the way the system works. But then again, I thought about it, and once again, it goes back to the old saying, in order for the children to avoid the trap, the parents have to avoid the trap. Now, how do we do that? We have to educate ourselves. You know, be aware of what's going on. And Michael said something. You know, be aware of what laws are. You know, what laws are they utilizing to entrap or get you caught up in situations that normally you wouldn't. But without educating yourself on the laws and understanding the technicalities that is used, then I think that would solve a lot of the problem, because, as we said, I've said often on the show, kids imitate your parents. You know, kids imitate their parents. And if they see you doing it, and you educating yourself and you educating them, then there's a good chance they may slip around this system that's set up to ruin them. But if they see the parents falling prey every 2 or 3 months and things of that nature, then there may not be any hope. You know, on my Facebook page, there has been a slew of videos of kids out on the street fighting, and, you know, there's always one holding the camera, egging the other ones on, using all profane language and things like that. And although that is very, very disturbing, you know what the most disturbing part about it is? There's always some adults standing there watching. In some instances, the adults are becoming involved in the incident, the fights that's going on. Once again, that goes back. If the parents aren't doing what's right, how you expect the kids to? Thus, why the prisons, private or public, are so full. I know, man. I shouldn't have went there, right? Oh, well. Man, I don't know. Why are we begging for resources in our own neighborhoods? Why? No, Pinky said that. Now, why don't we build prisons? Why? Because, once again, we're not demanding anything. We're not. We're not asking for anything. We're not making anybody stand up and look. Prime example, the NAACP. As many issues as we have in our community, they're backing Native Americans against the Washington Redskins, a tenured NFL franchise. We can't get them to do anything in our neighborhood but ask for money. You see where this picture is going? You know what? I think I've talked too much. You know, some of y'all may be like, oh, he go again. Well, I'm just putting it out there, though. I'm just putting it out there and hopefully putting a little bit more things, food on your mind to think about, a little more thoughts. Okay? All right. Well, it's been fun. I appreciate everybody who showed up today. Man, I'm telling you, the information was just out there, man. Great. You know, everybody who participated, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And to my co-host, man, you the man, all right? So we're going to be working on this tomorrow. We're talking a little bit of prison tomorrow, and then we got Booker T. Washington versus W.E.B. Du Bois on deck. Man, I'm telling you, it's going to be a good one. So y'all going to get your homework done because we're going to be hopping and popping. All right? So thank y'all for participating once again. For me and my co-host, Lakeem, thank y'all. Keep smiling, show appreciation. Forgive with the open heart, but make sure you forgive yourself first. And the most important thing to me, at least, is learn to laugh at yourself. You can laugh at yourself, man. You can laugh at anything and anybody. All right? If you want to leave in the comments, just go to ericletstalk@gmail.com. Or go to a Facebook page at Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at Facebook.com. Or you can just leave me a message here on Blog Talk Radio. Either way, I'll get to you. All right? All right. So it's been a good one, man. I don't know if Ebony have a show, but if she does, hey, run over to Ebony English, you know, tell her I sent you, tell her hello, and, you know, give her a little support as well. That's my sister. All right. So, until tomorrow, y'all, 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, 1 Mountain Time. This has been Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and we're going to see you tomorrow. We're going to leave you out here with a little Luther. Bye, y'all. Bye.